I'm Kathy Davidson, and thank you for joining us at our women's meeting. We have some women, a group of us here, that are endeavoring to seek the kingdom of God, and we've got some faith. And I'm inviting you to join your faith with ours and let God minister to you. Let's open with prayer. My Heavenly Father, we come to you. Father, let the power of my Lord be great. Father, let the power of my Lord be great. And open our eyes that we can see. Open our ears that we can hear. Open our hearts like you did for Lydia, that we can attend unto the things which are spoken. Turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, we are going to begin our women's meeting. This meeting is based on 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6, but we're not going to go there, but we are going to go to John 10, 35. John 10, 35, one of my favorite verses because it is the basis of everything I believe. All right, in verse 35, Jesus speaking, because it's in red, it says, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. You know, God was talking to the Pharisees and the religious peoples, and he said that the scripture cannot be broken. They were accusing him of one thing, and Jesus was telling them the scripture cannot be broken. He was telling them that if you go on, it says, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified, and Jesus was talking about himself. He said, who God sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. Do you know if you are born again, you are on your way to become a daughter of God? Did you know that? Did you know that when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, that is the seal of your salvation, and if you will continue on with the Lord, you will end up being a daughter of God. A daughter of God. Not a servant, a daughter. Wow. I don't think we ever even really consider that. But Jesus said the scripture cannot be broken. Now, I want to tell us a testimony before I get into the scriptures, because it so blessed me and it really opened my eyes to the rest of these scriptures. It is about Corrie ten Boom, and she was actually having an interview with Catherine Coleman. And those two women together were something else. But Corrie ten Boom, I love that woman. I've never met her, but that woman had some wisdom of Jesus that has helped me. And I only read one of her books, and that was years back. I read The Hiding Place. Corrie ten Boom was a woman, a Dutch woman. She lived with her father, her sister, her other family in a very large house. He was a watchmaker. Corrie ten Boom was the first woman that was given a license to be a watchmaker in the Netherlands. And that was a pretty high honor. They were Christians. And when the World War II started coming about, when Hitler took office, and he started exterminating the Jews, Corrie ten Boom and her family hid Jews in their house. They worked with the underground. I thought it was just the eight people that Corrie ten Boom and her family hid, but she actually worked to save a lot of people, a lot, in the Netherlands when the Germans had taken over. And she was talking about, she was betrayed, and she was arrested, and she was giving some of her testimony about after she was arrested. Corrie ten Boom, a woman in the middle age, ended up in a concentration camp in Germany. She ended up in Ravensbrück. Her father died 10 days after they were arrested. He was in his 80s. He could not handle the persecution. He died. He told them he was going to. He said, I believe if this comes, see ya, I'm out of here. And he did. He died. She was with her sister in Ravensbrück. That was a concentration camp built for 200 women, and they had 700 women in it. The wonderful thing about this was you see the power of God working in the midst of great evil. Great evil. And Corrie Ten Boom was able to sneak in a Bible. And her and her sister took turns giving Bible lessons to the women in the prison. But on this particular occasion, she was telling Catherine Coleman that 250 younger women in the concentration camp went every day to work in the ammunition factory. Now, I want you to consider this. In Germany, ammunition factory, where they made bullets and rockets and ammunition. And they made it for the Germans. And they marched these 250 women into the factory, and the women worked there all day, and they came home at midnight in the night. And they would come and they would sleep, and then they'd go back over again. And Corrie Ten Boom knew that they were going, you know, everybody talked with each other inside the barracks. And one night, the Spirit of God and Corrie roused her up to go out and meet those women as they were coming in off of the factory, coming back into the concentration camp. Now, these women worked in this ammunition factory, and they told Corrie Ten Boom that when the sirens would go off, when the bombs were the planes, when the sirens would go off, they were not allowed to go into the bomb shelters. They had to stay right where they were at in the factory. Now, if you know anything about World War II, one of the things that the Allies, the United States, Britain, and the countries with them, they were going to bomb the ammunition factories. They were going to get rid of the German ammunition supply. So these women worked in danger every day. And when those sirens went off that they saw planes, they were not allowed to go into the bomb shelters. If they bombed the factory, they were dead. And they lived with this fear every day. And one evening, one night, when they were coming in, the Lord spoke to Corrie to go out and meet these women coming in off the gate. So Corrie, being a middle-aged woman, looked out of her barracks, and she was following the searchlight, which went all night. When that light passed her by, she jumped out the window and jumped into the shadows. And she made her way from shadow to shadow, watching the searchlights until she got to the gate. They marched in single file. She got into a shadow where she was close to them, but the German army couldn't see her, the German guards. And as they would walk by, she spoke to each and every one individually, just quickly gave them a word from the Lord. And the one she started with was this, the first one, Jesus is victor. Well, actually, she said, Jesus is victor. Jesus is victor. She spoke some other words, but she said the one that she repeated often was she was telling individually women, telling them verses about trusting in the Lord and such. But this one got me, Jesus is victor. Now, you're talking to a woman who is in danger every day. And you're telling her Jesus is victor. Those women said they hung on to those words. And you know, at the end of the war, 250 women went every day into the ammunition factory. And every night they came back. And when the war was over, 249 went home. Just before Corrie's sister died, and by accident, they released Corrie Ten Boom before she was supposed to go. The wonderful thing about that was, after that, the women her age were all killed. God spared Corrie. He had a work for Corrie to do. But Jesus is victor. Jesus is victor. Those words went right to my heart. I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 12. Do you know what? Jesus is our victor too. Actually, let's start in Colossians 1. Let's get this groundwork in here. This foundation, something we can put in our hearts and we can hang on to. All right. Colossians 1:27. Let's begin in verse 26. Paul is talking about being made a minister. Verse 25, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. That mystery is the gospel. that mystery is the gospel. To whom God would make known. To whom God would make known. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles? The Gentiles. Not just the Jews, the Gentiles. We are Gentiles. We are Gentiles. I don't think we have any Jews here. What is a Gentile? Did you know that God only has two groups of people? He has a Jew and he has a Gentile. He does not have a black group. He does not have a green group. He does not have a yellow group. He does not have a brown group. He has Jew and Gentiles. And if you got Jesus in you, you're a Jew. You're a Jew. But we were Gentiles first. And it says right here, the mystery among the Gentiles. So it's talking to us. And what is that next phrase? Which is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you know that Jesus is in you? Do you really know that? Do you know that when you were born again, the Spirit of Jesus came into your heart? 1 Corinthians 4 says that we are one. The Spirit of Christ and us become one spirit. One spirit, not soul, not flesh, but one spirit. Do you really know that Jesus is in you? If we really considered who was in us, there would not be another day of fear. There would not be another day of fear. Jesus is victor. Jesus is victor. We say it in English, Jesus is the victor, or victory in Jesus, as you've heard it. Jesus the victor. All right, turn with me now to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked Jesus, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Do we really believe that? Then why do we ever ask the question, is it God's will to heal me? Is it God's will that I be healed? You're better than a sheep. You're better than a sheep. Oh, we're getting rid of some of our doubt. How much then is man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then said he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And the man stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. I love it. Jesus did this in the middle of the religious leaders, knowing they were going to get real upset. You know why they were real upset? Because they had it in the law of Moses that you can't do anything on the Sabbath day. That you can't do anything, including healing somebody. And Jesus told them, you're not too smart. He said, if a sheep, he says right here, what man is there among you that should have one sheep, if it fall into the pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold and pull it out? He said, and a man is better than a sheep. That's what got them so upset. They messed with their law. And the Pharisees went out and held a council against Jesus, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known. He healed them all. Everybody that came to Jesus, everybody got healed. Do you got that? Everybody that came to Jesus got healed. Do you know that it never has it recorded in here that Jesus asked you what you believe before you got healed? It never says in here, are you worthy to be healed? He never asked one person if they were worthy to be healed. They never asked one person. He never asked one person, are you a sinner? He never asked one person, are you a sinner? Because if you are, I can't heal you. He never said that, did he? Everybody that came to him got healed. No, regardless of their background, regardless of their behavior, regardless of how they looked, regardless of who they knew. Everybody got healed. Don't forget that. And it said, and he charged them that they should not make him known. This is beautiful. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying. Now this is after he healed everybody. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. We know this is the Father Jehovah talking about his son Jesus. I, the Father, will put my spirit upon him, and he will show judgment to the Gentiles. To the Gentiles. He will show judgment to us, not just the Jews. Not just the Jews, to the Gentiles also. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Judgment unto victory. Jesus is victor. Till he send judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. What was the judgment unto victory? That was the death, burial, and resurrection for you and me. Judgment, the English Standard Version says justice to victory. Justice to victory. Judgment to victory. What was that judgment? That he took us, the Gentiles, the Jews, sinners, sinners, rebellious sinners. And he took their sin on his own body. That was his judgment for you and I. We think of judgment, we think hell. But the judgment here is the gospel. The judgment unto victory. Your sins were taken from you and put on the cross. Your sicknesses, your diseases, your curses, your poverty, your welfare, your safety, your security was paid for on the cross by Jesus. Judgment to victory. Judgment to victory. And not only that, Jesus took the scourge. He took that scourge. He took the scourge for us. And that was that Father saw that sacrifice. It says in Isaiah 53, I think it's verse 10 or verse 12, he saw the travail of Jesus' soul. The Father saw it. Remember, the sacrifice of Jesus was to satisfy God. Was to satisfy God. The wages of sin is death. That is a principle, that is a fact from before the foundation of the earth. The wages of sin is death. You don't think so? Ask Satan. The wages of sin is death. God had to be satisfied concerning our sin. Had to be. Or we're all destroyed. Or we're all destroyed. That sin had to be satisfied. And what did the Father do? He sent his own son. Because he knew that was the only one that could do it. That was the only one that could walk, that could keep himself from sin and could tolerate, live through the cross. He was the only one, and he was God's beloved son, and God sent him anyway. Judgment. Judgment unto victory. Judgment unto victory. That body had my sin on it. That body had your sin on it. That body had my poverty on it. That body had your poverty on it. That body had my sickness, my disease on it. It had yours on it. It had my safety. It had my welfare. It had everything I needed on it. Why? God wanted daughters. God wanted sons. He didn't want a human race that he was going to lose. He wanted daughters and sons. And the only way to get them was to send Jesus. And Jesus went to the cross. Went to the cross. Judgment unto victory. He took that sin. He held it on his body. God put it on him. It said, and Jesus went to the cross walking. This amazes me. He walked to the cross. He walked to the cross. This was not just a physical thing that happened. This was a spiritual thing that happened. Jesus walked to the cross. It says at one point he couldn't carry the cross anymore, and somebody else carried it, but Jesus walked to the cross, and then they nailed him to it. But when he got on that tree, it says from the third hour, was it sixth hour to the ninth hour, it got dark. It went black. They didn't have street lights back then. They didn't have house lights. It got black. Why? That's when our sins started going on that body. That's when they started going on him. Oh, they nailed him to the tree, but until the sins went on him, when those sins went on him, every bone started dislocating. Every bone started dislocating. Why? He had to carry our sin, and that's what sin does to a body. Thank you, Jesus. Judgment unto victory. My sin is what started those bones coming apart, and he stayed alive. Every bone coming out of joint after being scourged, and he stayed alive. Made sure he stayed alive. Made sure the jawbones out of joint, the neck bones are out of joint, the elbows, the ribs, everything's out of joint, and he stayed alive. We say, how can that be? Isaiah said he was marred more than any man. Psalm 22 says that his bones looked and stared upon him. It says they all came apart and looked at him. He couldn't even tell he was a man. Why? Our sin on him. Even the ones, even in Germany, the ones that killed all the Jews, their sins were on that Jew's body. Isn't that interesting? Thank you, Jesus. He carried the guards' sins. He carried Hitler's sins. He carried their sins on that Jewish body. Now, Jesus, after all the sins are on him and he knows that he's done everything, and you say, why do you keep telling this story? Because one day it's going to get your heart and you will have the faith to trust in it. That's why I tell it all the time. The gospel is where faith comes from. Hearing the gospel is what does faith. Hearing the gospel is what gives you faith. That's why we talk about it. That's why I minister it. I want you to have the faith that is available to us, that nothing will be impossible. Jesus, finally, when he realizes he's done everything he needs to do, that he has all his sins on him, that all his bones are out of joint, he realizes he has to drink that vinegar because that was written in the Word of God. He had to get that done. He tells them, I thirst. The Roman soldier gives him the vinegar. He says, it's finished. Everything I had to accomplish here on the cross is finished. Then he dies. He gives up the ghost. They couldn't kill him. The sin couldn't kill him. Sickness didn't kill him. The Jews didn't kill him. The soldiers, the Roman soldiers didn't kill him. He gave up the ghost. And he gave it up by the Spirit of God. And he went to hell and he paid for those sins. Jesus went to hell, the most wicked person ever. Why? He had all our sin on him. He died a sinner. He died a sinner. He died the world's worst sinner. And then he went to hell. And he paid for those sins in hell. I love Psalm 88, why it says, thy wrath lieth hard on me. That is Jesus talking about the Father. Thy wrath, Father, lieth hard on me in hell. Why? So his wrath wouldn't be on you and I. His wrath won't be on you and I because he took it out on Jesus. He took it out on Jesus. What was the judgment? What was the victory? Turn with me to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Father to bruise him. That word Lord is Jehovah. He put him to grief, made him sick. But now shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11, the Father, he shall see the travail of Jesus' soul, and he shall be satisfied. He shall be satisfied. He was satisfied with the offering Jesus gave of himself. He was satisfied. He received that offering. Jesus made himself an offering, and the Father received it. You know what's so wonderful about that? That offering was made on your behalf. That offering was made on your behalf. Like we said last week, did we ask for it? No. But God did it anyway. That offering that Jesus made for your sin, for your sickness, for your poverty, for your safety, for your security, for your welfare, was satisfied, was received, was accepted. Was accepted judgment to victory. It was received judgment to victory. What was the victory? The moment that the Father received that sacrifice of Jesus, the moment that Jesus satisfied the Father, that moment you were forgiven. Why? All the sins were paid for. That moment that the Father received the sacrifice of Jesus, that he was satisfied, your sicknesses were healed. Every one of them was healed. Your prosperity was paid for, accepted, given to you. Given to you. Your security was paid for, accepted, and given to you. You don't have to be afraid to go to the marketplace that somebody's going to start shooting at you. You don't have to be afraid. Why? It was paid for on the cross. Judgment to victory. Judgment to victory. That sacrifice was accepted. You can't pay any more for it. It's accepted. So what do we need to do? Let's go to 1 John 5. It's already been done. Like we said last week, the work's already finished. The work is already finished. It just needs one thing. Just one thing. 1 John 5:4. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's the only thing that you need with this gospel. The only thing you need with this gospel. I want you to go to Romans 8, verse 35. These were some tough verses to believe. Who shall separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Is that going to separate you from the love of Christ? No, we have Jesus in us. Is distress? No, it cannot separate you from the love of Christ. Can you believe these verses? The scripture cannot be broken. What about persecution? It cannot separate you from the love of Christ. Why? He's in you. He's in you. Or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. He's in you. Jesus is victor. Jesus is victor. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Ooh, fun. Sign up for that. But what does verse 37 say? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. How? Through him that loved us. Through Jesus. Through Jesus. There's another verse, I can't remember where it is, it says, victory through Jesus. Jesus is victor. Do you know that you have the victory every time available for you? Every time, in every situation. Every situation. But you know what? We won't believe that. We won't believe that. Well, my kids aren't following God. Jesus is victor. Jesus is victor. Do you know that the Jesus in you is a lot stronger than the devil in your kids? Do you know that? Do you believe that? Jesus is victor. It may take you longer than 3 days. Jesus is victor. Jesus is the victor. Do you know that any money problems you have, and I've had plenty, Jesus is victor. Every one of them got solved. Every one of them got solved. Even up to yesterday. Jesus is victor. He's in us. He is in us. Jesus is victor if you will believe. There is no sickness greater than Jesus. There is no problem greater than Jesus. There is no person greater than Jesus. There is no persecution. There is no famine. There is nothing greater than Jesus. That name is above all names. You know, it comes to mind real quick. When I was teaching school, I found out that the year before I left teaching, I didn't know this, but I came out and I was talking to the lady that was the computer tech person. She was right outside my door. And I remarked about our vice principal. And I said something she'd done. And that lady, our tech person, looked at me, sweet old lady, she looked at me and she goes, "Kathy, that woman is not your friend." I said, "Really?" She said, "That woman's trying to get you fired." Wow. I did not know that. Jesus is victor. Well, that immediately started me praying. I didn't want fired. And I realized I had an enemy. And I realized I was the only one in the whole building that didn't know that that woman was my enemy. But God, you know what? I love God will let you find out. God will let you find out. I started to pray. I started to bless her. I started to pray for her. I started to bless her and pray for her because Jesus said, "Bless your enemies." Well, here's one. I started blessing that woman. This went on for about 2 weeks. And it's amazing. I did not run down to the principal's office and say, "Hey, what's going on here?" No, I didn't. I knew that wasn't going to help me one bit because I wasn't real sure the principal was behind it. But I started blessing her and praying for her. You know what? Jesus is victor. Jesus is victor. I told God, "I don't know what to do except this. You're going to have to solve this situation." You know, I found one day I walked into the cafeteria and they said, "Hey, did you hear what happened to the vice principal?" I said, "No." "They just came through. She got an immediate transfer. She has to leave tomorrow. And she's going to the school she hates the worst." They said, "We're all going to meet in so-and-so's room. We just want to meet. We're so upset, and we don't want her to leave. We're going to have a meeting together with her. Come on." I said, "I'm busy. I got to go to my room." I went into my room, and I started thanking God. Jesus is victor. Jesus is victor. Not only victor for me, but those who are in the concentration camp, kept them alive. Jesus is victor. Is he your victor? Is he your savior? Is he your Lord? Is he your shepherd? Because he wins every time. He wins every time, if you will believe. Every time. I have been in situations that look like there was no hope. But there's hope. Jesus is victor, and I came out every time. I have a group of women here that have done the same thing. Jesus is victor in their lives too. Do you want that victor in you? Do you want Jesus as your Lord? Do you want him as your Savior? Savior means he saves you. He helps your situation. He fixes things. That's what I love about Jesus. And he did it out of love for us. Do you want him? It is not hard to bring him into your heart. All you have to do is open your mouth. Follow me in this prayer. Jesus, come into my heart. be Lord of my life. Be my Savior. Lead me. Guide me. Fix me. And I ask this in your name. Amen. Amen. It says in Romans 10:13, because I can hear somebody saying, how come you're not making everybody confess their sins? Romans 10:13 says, he that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It does not say you have to get confess all your sins. He'll get to that later. Trust me, he'll get you there. Amen. Amen. We are having some beautiful things happening here on Wednesday night and Sunday night. We are getting rid of some witchcraft and getting rid of some fear and some rebellion and some rejection. We're getting rid of some of these spirits. Does anybody here need prayer? I get thanks, Jesus. I thank you. I get thanks. Would you all do this for me? No. I get thanks, Jesus. I thank you. You say, it's not happening to me. Oh, don't you stop. Don't you stop pressing in. Jesus is victor. Don't you stop pressing in. It's for you. Jesus is victor. I didn't start immediately. Jesus is victor. Some of us have to overcome some of our hard hearts. But you know what? That word is a hammer. That word is a fire. And you keep reading it and it will break the ground. I know I've heard, and this is just people here that are part of Water of Life know this. We are reading that document, and I hear all over, and I am included. I'm reading it, and I'm getting sick. I'm reading it, and I've got stomach pain. I'm reading it, and I'm getting these infections, you know, all the symptoms of infection. I'm getting sick. What is it happening? All this dross is coming to the surface. It's coming to the surface and it's coming out, and sometimes it hurts. I was amazed. I told this to Joel yesterday. I said, we ate our dinner Wednesday night. We were getting ready to come here. I got the worst stomach cramps. And Joel, you know, cannot see very well, so he did not see me. But I left the house like this. I hurt so bad in my stomach. The cramping was so bad that I couldn't stand up straight. So I left like this. We got in the car. I thought, you know, I need a little cane. I mean, it hurt. God, it hurt. And then I realized it was because of what was going to happen that evening. And I told Doyle about it this morning. He said, you were dealing with their devils. And those devils weren't happy with you. I thought, wow, good shot. I mean, I did. But you know what? When we got everybody delivered, when we were finished last night, I had no pain. Pains were gone. Headache was gone. Everything was gone. I've had headaches, you know. I mean, just why? We're getting washed. Keep reading. Keep pressing in. It'll break. It will break. And you know, Jesus is the victor. And wonderful thing about Jesus, he is greater than you. He is greater than you. He knows what it takes. He's greater than you. If you keep pressing, it'll come down. It will come down. I love Jesus is victor. Even over our own hard hearts, Jesus is victor. Amen. Amen. See you next week. Nobody needs prayer. Father, I thank you for your grace. Father, I thank you. You said that if we ask anything according to your will, that you hear us. And if we know you hear us, you will grant what we ask. Father, in the name of Jesus, that the Spirit of grace, that Spirit of grace, that Spirit that tears down walls, that Spirit that opens hearts, that Spirit that delivers, that Spirit of God that moves from you and Jesus, that Spirit of grace be on us now. Now, bringing us into the kingdom. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. And I want to say this. if you don't feel anything, don't make that stop. Don't stop because you don't feel anything. Don't stop. I woke up this morning sick with a headache, feeling like everything was just awful. I mean, I did. I woke up thinking about all the, it was amazing. All these troubles in my family that I had not even considered in a while. And it was like everything was just staring at me in the face. And how awful this whole situation was and how awful everything is. And nothing's working. And I got downstairs. I said, Dole, I'll be back. And I went downstairs, got in the kitchen. And I said, I will not consider how I feel. I will not consider what I see. I only consider what I believe. And in 5 minutes, I overcame it. Brought coffee and orange juice up to him, but I overcame it. You cannot consider how you feel. Even when I'm dead inside, I cannot consider that. I have to believe. Amen? See you next week.
Thank you for joining Kathy Davidson and the Ministers of Music from Water of Life Church. She would love to hear from you. You may reach her by email at kd@kdwol.com. Or you may write her at Kathy Davidson, care of Water of Life Church, Post Office Box 861-327, Plano, Texas, 75086. You may find her on the internet at www.kdwol.com. And on Facebook and Twitter. Until next time, God bless.